Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hey guys!
Hello there!
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares again.
Yay!
I don't remember what episode number this is, but I never do. So what's
that ain't nothing new.
Yeah, what's new? We had an interesting weekend. We can talk about that at the end, I think. So those who don't care don't have to hear it.
Sounds good.
I hope everybody's doing fantastic. And we have a little story this week. It's not as long as some of the others we've done. Not as much detail, maybe. Not as much history. It's not as big of a story, so it's not easy to find as much information. But I thought it was kind of cool. So, especially since it's hunting season in Missouri now, deer hunting season, and it doesn't go totally with it, but it kind of does.
I don't know it at all. I don't know nothing about this story.
No, so. You don't. This is the Clark's Fork Spook.
Wow, say that 10 times.
Can't do it. So this haunting takes place about 8 to 10 miles south of Boonville in an isolated valley. And, surprise, this is another spook light.
What? Mm-hmm. I didn't know we had another one.
Oh, yeah. Me either. Found it. So the story is not really corroborated anywhere. This is kind of folklore that's been passed down, and I couldn't find any articles. It's so the man who we're going to talk about, his last name was Story. So go try to find a man named Story in the newspapers. Yeah,
I bet you that was hard.
You can imagine how that goes. It'd be like a man named Smith.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. So I have no idea his first name. This is lore that's been passed down.
Okay.
And I love that. So the story goes that in 1830s, somewhere in there, this man by the name of Story came to settle in the area about 7 miles south of Boonville. It said 8 to 10 miles, but then other places said 7 miles. So I'll just give you all the numbers and you can decide which one you like the best. He built himself a cabin near the spring in this valley. And he was pretty much a hermit. Kept to himself. Didn't care about anybody else. He only went out to hunt with his dogs. He would hunt in the fall and winter. And he would fish in the stream in the summer. And he has dogs with him. That was the only other living people or thing that he cared about. He didn't really care about his neighbors. Now, as far as his personality went, I've read it two completely different ways. Totally opposite. Some sources say that while he kept to himself, he stayed on good terms with his neighbors and they were friendly. Got along just fine. Others said he was like, he shunned everybody. Only cared about himself and his dogs, didn't care about anything, and kind of like ran people off away from his land. Who knows? Also, there was a little bit of an issue with him and the local people from the one who said it, that he was shunned, right? Or that he shunned people, which I guess technically he would be the shunned one since he's the one that's outcast. I don't know. Anyway. That there was kind of an issue with him because he wasn't a Christian man. Like, he wasn't known to go to the church and stuff like that. So there was kind of an issue there. That was from, of course, like I said, that source. Or the sources that said he was not friendly at all with his neighbors. So that kind of comes to play later, but don't know. Okay. So anyway, he had no interest at all in anyone outside of his little cabin, his own little world out there in the valley. Besides hunting, he also raised crops in a small garden for food. Since it's only him, I'm sure that didn't take much. It did say it was a very small garden, which it wouldn't need to be any size. One day, somebody stopped by this cabin. The reports differ here again also. Again, this is lore. This is folklore that's been passed down, spoken word, through generations. So that's probably why there's so many differences. It just depends on who's telling it. That's what I'm going with anyway. Well, some of the stories say it was one person. Some say it was multiple people. Some say they were stopping by to give him some corn whiskey they'd just made. And others say that they were hunters. So acquaintances through hunting of his that were stopping in for, I don't know, to rest. I don't know what they were stopping for. Swap stories.
They Hill stopped. Fibs.
Somebody, whoever they were, they stopped in. And the cabin door is standing open. The dogs are out in the yard, fighting over some scraps in the yard. This person or persons found that the coals in the fireplace were cold. Fire's gone out. Don't know what time of year it is, but apparently that was something to note because it always was in every story.
Mm-hmm.
And Story's gun was hanging above the fireplace. All of his clothes and supplies were in their places in the cabin. The cabin looked as though the man had just stepped outside, like to grab something and come back in, but never came back in. Like he had just stepped away for a minute, and because it was just life is normal in there, right? But he was gone. Disappeared.
Wow.
There were a few people that thought the man had taken off to head west. That was kind of hard to believe for most people who have any kind of, I don't know, sense about them, I guess, because why would he just leave his dogs, his only gun. Friends in the world,
mm-hmm.
and his gun and all of his supplies and clothes? That doesn't make any sense. But some people thought that's just the kind of guy he was. He didn't care about anything. So he just left everything behind and went.
I don't believe that.
I don't think so either. I don't know why you would do that. Especially, I mean, the dogs are fighting over some scraps. There's not a lot of food, but I'm assuming from what they said, everything was left. Mm-hmm. So he would have taken supplies at least for the trip.
For real. To protect himself and all that. Yeah.
So this guy's never seen again. The house was eventually sold.
So just poof, he's gone.
He's gone.
Wow.
There were some people that believed, since he wasn't a Christian man, as far as they know, I mean, they don't know, but they believed he sold himself to the devil.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a going thing.
There was also a lot of talk of murder, that maybe he was killed because he had some kind of buried treasure on the land.
Oh my gosh.
Stories just kind of went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see that if this is a true story, and I can't say that it is. I can't say that it isn't. This is just the story that's told about this haunting. But I mean, nobody ever really figured out what happened mm-hmm. to him.
Aw, that's yeah. crazy.
Mm-hmm. So the house was eventually sold, and a couple families lived there until it was finally abandoned in 1910 and pretty much just left to rot.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1882, a family by the name of Houston moved into the farmhouse above the Story Spring. By this time, the tales of the spook had been passed around for decades. Assuming this was all just local lore and a silly ghost story from old timers in the area,
mm-hmm.
the Houston family, they weren't really concerned with it. But it wasn't long before the spook light made its appearance to them. The Houstons would describe the spook light as a ball of light that never increased or decreased in size. It was always a constant size. It was not affected by the weather or any kind of climate change. you know, from winter to fall, it was always the same time or always the same, no matter how the weather was. It could be seen on a clear nights when the moon shone bright, but also during thunderstorms and even snowstorms. It was most often seen in the months of October and November. That's when it would be seen like more nights than on other, in other was months.
In, just in the valley somewheres or mm-hmm. in the same spot?
I'll tell you.
Okay, sorry.
Never mind. It always first appeared when it would first come into view during the night. It would come over the northern rim of the valley. At times, it would skim along the top of the trees, but it would also get as low as 30 inches above the ground. So that's a big difference, mm-hmm. tops of trees and 30 inches above the ground. The spook would move varying speeds from that of a like a slow walk, like a person walking slow, to as fast as 20 miles per hour.
How do they know that?
How do they know what?
How fast it was going.
Oh, I don't know. I'd say that's a best guess.
Good.
A lot of times it would stay in one place for like 2 hours at a time. Just hover in one place. During its pass around the valley, it would always make its way to the old story cabin. It would circle the cabin and stop briefly at each of the four sides of the cabin.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a few stories that said it was looking in the windows. So I don't know how they would know it was looking in the windows.
So this is just like a ball of light.
It's a ball of light.
Creepy.
Yeah. From the cabin, the spook would travel down to the spring before it moved down the valley and out of sight. That was the whole trip.
I don't even know what to say.
I know. Like, it's very interesting, huh?
Like, can you imagine just seeing it, watching it every night? Or just, oh, here comes the ball of light.
I know. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The first time they were probably like, shit, those people were right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the families that lived in the story cabin at one point was the Wilsons. They lived there during the 1880s at some point. They had two dogs, Shep and Bruno.
Bruno, I love it.
I like Shep too. When the dogs would see the light coming down to the valley, they would run toward it. But they would stop when they got within about 20 feet. And at this point, the dogs would bark and run back to the house.
Oh.
And then crawl underneath the fence, and the light would follow the dogs into the yard and chase them until they hid under the house and went quiet, like they were hiding from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the light would just move on.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like it chased them off.
Yeah. The Houstons also had a dog. It too would run down the road to meet the light. One of the stories they tell about this whole scenario is quite interesting, I think. So the dog runs down the road to the light. When it gets too close to the light, its bark kind of turns into this terrifying growl or howl, I guess. It's like,
well, which one?
It's barking and then it's like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it did. So the animal kind of seemed to attract the spook, and it like darts toward the dog, and the dog's like, huh, and starts like whining and backing back up the hill toward the home, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the fence, the dog turns and runs under the house again, just like the other dogs. It's hiding, and the spook stands at the gate, or stands, I guess, floats at the gate in the yard. And the family's been watching this whole thing go down, mm-hmm. right? So they come out into the yard to, they just want to see the light and see what's going on. And they get within about 20 feet of it. It's always 20 feet, which
can't
is weird
go past
to me.
That mark.
They notice that even that the light was very bright, so bright they could hardly look into it. But there was no heat coming from it at all, which it seems like there would be from a mm-hmm. light that bright. And but they also noticed that behind the light, there is a V-shaped shadow that's so black, even the light is not penetrating it. And beneath the shadow are two pair of legs.
Nuh-uh.
Clad in like ragged buckskin trousers and moccasins. So they're going Native American, mm-hmm. I feel like. But from the shadow, they hear the voices of a man and a boy arguing. But they can't, like, they're listening very closely and they can't understand what they're saying. They just get the feeling that there's an argument going mm-hmm. on. And they can make out that it's a man and then it's a younger man or a boy. Don't know what they're saying, though.
Weird.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, like I said, I feel like I'm feeling Native American with the mm-hmm. moccasins and stuff. I mean, I know that people in that time wore those clothes anyway. Like, they didn't have to be Native American, but my thought was, could they not understand them because they were speaking another language? Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking.
They couldn't understand them, but I don't know for sure. And I don't know that, I mean, what's coming, I don't know that that makes that much sense, but... Mm-hmm. Still, to them, they thought that it was like a coon hunter person. Here's why. Because this story gets a little bit more fantastical as we go. they thought they witnessed what they called coon hunts. And hunts by the spook. So here's what would happen. They would hear the spook just tearing through the underbrush and the dry leaves, and it would be like urging its dogs with some kind of crazy cry. And the one that's telling about this was a boy at the time. And who had spoken to a reporter and was saying, like, years later, I can still hear that scream of it screaming at its dogs.
At its dogs?
Yeah. So it's living out a coon hunt.
Weird.
Yeah. I told you it was going to get fantastical, if that's a word. Anyway.
I don't know if that's the right word.
So he said, like, it would just, like, send shivers through you, that scream of it yelling at its dogs, and that he could still like hear it in his mind from all those years back when he was a boy in October when it would be all the time happening. And wow. Mm-hmm, so it would go ripping through the woods, through the underbrush, and then the hounds would be heard barking like they had treed a coon.
So all this has come from the light.
Yeah. From what I understand, this is all just playing out. And then they would hear the sound of axes.
Like cutting down a tree.
Mm-hmm. And they could hear the crash of the tree fall. And then they would listen and wait for the hounds pouncing on the coon and the sound of them shooting the coon. Like, that's like the hunt, you know, like what happens. But that sound never came, only the crash. But then there would not be any trace of a tree that had been cut mm-hmm. down. There would not be any trace that anything had run through the woods.
I wonder if it was like the same time.
I'm wondering the same thing. If it was something replaying.
Mm-hmm.
But.
That's yeah. just crazy. Like sounds?
Yeah.
That's.
Wow. So, on one October night, the moonlight was so bright, it was like daytime. It's the Houston family again. And they watched the light come to the base of a giant bur oak tree that was near the bottom of the hill on their property. And the light flared up against the trunk and kind of just set the leaves of the tree on fire. everything just set on fire. And that, so there's this big bonfire happening in the trees. And then all of a sudden the fire just stops. Everything's gone. There's nothing. And then the next morning they go out there to where this happened, and there is no sign there was ever a fire anywhere. There's no leaves burned, no bark scorched, nothing. Wow. Everything's normal. But they had witnessed this the night before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one too.
Very.
So there's a lot of other strange things. So they say that one time the spook was actually seen driving a pack of about 100 hogs through the woods, like pigs.
Mm-hmm. What, do you think it was motorcycles?
Yeah, that's oh what I gosh. Thought it was. That's my hog, by the way.
That's so stupid.
They would hear. They heard the pigs grunting. They heard the leaves rustling and the suey. Yeah.
What was that?
Listen, I used to have hogs, so I know what I'm doing.
Oh. I'll step back then.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Get in your place. They would hear him calling out all those hog words.
How does it go?
To drive these hogs. And it was just crazy amount of noise going on. And so Mr. Houston is thinking, this damn ghost is stealing my hogs now. And so he went out to look and kind of take it and see what's going on. And everything's fine. Hogs are sleeping. Nothing's going on.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's just the noise, what sounds like hogs being driven through the woods. So not the motorcycle.
This big ball of light just like brings sound with it.
It seems like
the past.
That's what I'm getting too. Is like, it's like, hey, want a history lesson? Here's what used to happen here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It's weird, right?
Very.
Mm-hmm. So there were other times when it kind of had this childlike, almost trickstery kind of way about it. It liked to kind of scare people and mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one story about Charlie Lundberg, something like that. He's walking across the hill to see Lou Hopley.
Hey, girl. Mm,
yeah. And the light comes into his path and it won't let him move on. It's just like, no, you don't need to go see your girlfriend. Then there's another night. Sam Wilson, maybe the same Wilson that was in the cabin, I don't know. He's driving his family home from a revival, and the spook appears in the middle of the road and frightened the horses so they wouldn't go on. Yeah. Wilson stood up in the wagon, and he was swearing at the horses, and then he swore at the spook, and he whipped the animals with his...
And oh my God.
It didn't do any good. And finally, his wife starts singing a hymn. And the spook moved aside and let them pass.
No.
That's the story.
I don't believe it. Out of all stories.
Are you calling Mr. Wilson a liar?
No.
Okay.
Like, when you see something, unless they're used to seeing it, but you just decide to, hey, I'm going to sing and I know this will work and make it move.
They had just come from church. It wasn't like this was something she didn't do all the time.
Oh, okay. She wasn't freaking out like a normal person seeing stuff, something like this. Okay, whatever.
No, she had Jesus, honey.
Oh. My.
You're the one with the problem here, not her.
Obviously. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So, like I said, nobody ever really got close enough to figure out who it was. I mean, they were close enough to see buckskin trousers and moccasins, but they couldn't figure out who it was. It's very weird to me because I told the story of Mr. Story because a lot of people believe it's him, but he was a hermit, so the boy and man don't make any sense. The hunting and stuff like that makes total sense, but it doesn't really make much sense for it to be two people, so I don't know about that. But that's what everyone attributes it to, is Mr. Story. Whatever happened to him, whatever terrible thing happened to him, which probably something terrible happened, that's who they think this was. And it didn't start until afterward, so that's why most people believe it's him. So I think it's kind of romantic in the way that he was this person who didn't care about anybody. He was this hermit that probably thought nobody cared about him. And it's been 100 years, and over 100 years, and we're talking about him right now. And so if he is a true person or a real person and this story is true, it's kind of cool that, like, something bad may have happened and he died all the way back then. But, I mean, he's remembered even though he had no family.
That's true.
Or anybody. Like, that's kind of beautiful to me that he's remembered in this story. A ghost story, maybe. But still, we still talk about him, and that's cool.
I do agree.
So, I don't think that the spook has been seen in a long time.
I wonder what made it stop showing up.
I don't know. I think it's the valley there is much more populated now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if it's just
bustle. He's not a fan.
And, yeah, maybe. But that is the Clark's Fork spook. I thought that was really interesting. I think we did the spook light in Joplin. And that was an interesting story, but there wasn't anything that was like, here's what happened, here's why it's here. And this one is the same, pretty much. There's no definite story, but there's something kind of nice to think this old man who was maybe lonely is now this story. I don't know.
You're adorable.
Spook lights are weird. Yeah. I think there's something to them, though, because it's not just like, because you think if this happens and this happens in this little valley, fine. But no, this very same kind of phenomenon is happening all over the world in different places. These spook lights are happening. Is it paranormal? I don't know. I mean, I think it happens so often that there's something to it.
Because it has to be paranormal, though.
No.
No?
No. I mean, what if it's just some kind of atmosphere thing that happens in certain places, and these places just are perfect spot for that?
You got a point.
You know, I don't know that it's paranormal, but something's happening that these spook lights are being seen. And especially when you're talking about, I mean, the one in Joplin was, what, 1850s when it was first seen? Remember. Something like that. And then it may have been before that. I don't know. But this one, I mean, this one was seen in the 1880s, is the earliest that we found that it was seen. So these people aren't talking to each other. They didn't see this on the news or Facebook start telling other people that they saw it and put it together. And then some of the other spook lights are also pretty historic from what I recall in Texas. I mean, these people didn't talk to each other and just make this up. And then other spook lights in Australia. So they definitely didn't know what was going on.
For sure.
In Clark's Fork. So there's something to it. But what it is, I don't know. I wish we knew.
Me too.
And maybe we do, and I just haven't found it.
I'm kind of glad we don't know. It can't just keeps you guessing.
It's nice. So, that's the Clark's Fork spook. I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
I want to see a spook light. I'm so pissed that I haven't seen a spook light.
Oh, God. You want to see a lot of things.
It's true. I do. Like, more reviews. I want to see some more reviews.
Oh, well played. Way to sneak that in. Because we have none.
We don't have any reviews this week. But we did want to just mention right here at the end, since the story's over. But we went back to Pythian Castle this weekend.
We did.
We had a lot of fun. We got to meet some listeners there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun.
It was good times.
It was good. I think this time it was very different because the last time we were there, we did the tour beforehand and then went straight into the investigation. Mm-hmm. And this time we did not take the tour beforehand, which maybe, I don't want to say it was a mistake, but it kind of threw our plans out the window.
Mm-hmm.
We had very specific plans on where to start, where to move to next, where to go, and all that was thrown out because the tour was still there, so we couldn't go in certain parts of the building mm-hmm. until they were done. So, and those certain parts of the building were where we planned on starting. So,
of course,
it didn't go as planned, but I think everybody had a good time. I think there were a few people who've never done any kind of investigating before, and everybody did so great. Like, everybody was into it. I don't feel like we got the kind of responses, and I don't know. What do you think? I just feel like the last time the spirit box went so well, and this time it just kind of did sometimes. And then I know there were, my sister was with us, and Destiny, who's actually shared one of her stories
mm-hmm.
on Show Me Booze, they had some pretty cool experiences in the dorm. I set up the flashlight for the whole flashlight game, and they had a full conversation with
a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think they were very excited mm-hmm. after that. That was cool. So I think that was probably the highlight for everyone, because I also think we had someone that was there also that has never been into anything,
mm-hmm.
anything like this. And she is like, when's the next one? Right. I want to go. Like, I cannot wait to do more of this. So yeah, it's exciting. We had a blast. And so we do want to thank everybody who came out and did that, because it was so much fun. It's so nice since everything's canceled in the whole world because of stupid COVID. So, and speaking of that, I guess we could go ahead and say we have decided not to attend the Strange Escapes at Belvoir. We've talked about that a lot and how much we're looking forward to it. The date has changed over and over and over again. And so it was going to be the first weekend of December. But we have made the decision with the amount of COVID cases right now and just the state of everything with COVID, it's not in our best interest to be at a convention right now. And so we're not going to go to that. We will wait and we'll go on a Strange Escape next time. They are supposed to be planning a trip to Belvoir again next year, so we'll just do that. Sadly, we'll miss that one, but
it's a lot different going to a big event like that and then having our little Pythian one where we all could stay away from each other.
Totally
wear
different.
Mask. Yeah.
Yeah. Pythian has, I mean, the area is so big. Mm-hmm. We could easily distance and everyone wore masks. So we were responsible.
Ish.
Ish. But yeah, it's a totally different situation being with 10 people than being with
And they have
hundreds.
A lot of rules and regulations they've got to go by with everything to put on the event.
Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be the same experience.
It wouldn't. I don't think we would get to hang out with the people we wanted to. A few of the big people we wanted to come is not going to come because of it all. And it's like, we paid our money to see all that.
Yeah.
So we'll just hold on to
mm-hmm.
our spot and shoot for a different date.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's fine. It's going to be fine. As soon as this stuff is over.
I am over it. I'm just glad mm-hmm. we finally got to go on investigation.
Yeah. I mean, because we started this whole thing mm-hmm. and then a month later, everything shut down for COVID. Like, we just start getting into it and talking about all this stuff that we want to go do. And it's like, oh, joke's on you. Mm-hmm. Everything's shut down now.
You so, think you're going to Waverly.
Yeah. That one hurts. That one really hurts me because
me
I was
too.
Like oh my gosh, that was a check on the bucket list. Like, I was so stoked about being at Waverly. And yeah, it's been what, 6-7 months since we were supposed to be at Waverly? Yep. And I'm still like a little sick about it. Damn it, COVID. So anyway, that's all that kind of stuff.
It's okay.
We'll plan more trips to Pythian. If anybody wants to go, let us know. Mm-hmm. Because we will have more trips to Pythian. That's way too easy, cheap for everybody to go. So,
and I'm buying more equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy some merch so we can buy more equipment.
Stop. I'll just pick up more shifts.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and please leave some reviews because we don't have any.
Poor Shayla. We don't have any. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Have a great week, guys. We love you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will see you with a bonus episode later this week.
Yes!
Surprise!
Woo!
Bye, guys.
Bye.